You guys know the movie Groundhog's Day, right? Where it feels like the same day over and over and over again. Well, that's probably what it feels like when you're flipping through profiles when you're online dating, right? Like you've seen the same profile again and again and again and again. She's not just one of those profiles. You're also probably one of those profiles. And no one loves to live the same day over and over and over again because it's boring. So make your profile interesting, enticing, alluring, clever, something that she's never seen before. And I promise you, the amount of times you get swiped on left will go down drastically. So if you want more matches, stop wasting time, stop living in Groundhog's Day and having the same experience on a dating app day in and day out. So go to kristenandchill.com if you want help with your banter. Of course, I'm there for that, but I'm also here to make you look your best, sound your best, and appear your best so you can start getting those matches and getting on to dates.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick. Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we have Kurt on our show, who is a listener to the Ask Women podcast. And he wrote me telling me that he did a full summer of research about the best self-help dating resources, relationship resources that are out there. And he gives us 7 things that he's taken from these resources, 7 things that he wish he knew when he was younger that he knows now that are helping him immensely with women. So keep listening.
Hey guys, welcome to the Ask Women podcast. It's your host, Kristen Carney, along with the expert, Marnie Kinross. And we're here with a listener named Kurt, who did tons and tons of reading on pickup stuff, which, I mean, I'm surprised he can even
still read.
He can read too. Whoa. So Kurt, tell us a little bit about why you did so much research on pickup stuff.
Yeah, I think I wanted just to have a goal during the summer. I thought it'd be a good idea to actually maybe get off the internet and maybe read a book, which is the crazy idea in 2018, but I thought I'd try
exactly.
It.
Well, that's a crazy goal for the summer, to read. My goal was to
get
as many happy hours as possible. I think it's a great goal. You obviously had something that you wanted to work on. Can we actually take a step back for a second? And
sure.
Maybe you can tell us, which I know you're going to, but where were you with women at the time that you decided this is what I'm going to read about instead of reading some other self-help?
Yeah, like I feel like a guy who was getting laid a lot wouldn't be like, you know what, I'm going to learn about pickups.
I'm going to read up on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I found it just interesting, but to give you an idea where I was coming from, a lot of my social interactions in my earlier 20s was just in college. And I have to admit, a lot of that was just walking around drunk in a frat house. Not really ideal for the real world. And I found that out too. Yeah. So I went on a few dates at the end of college. And right after college, I started working at a startup in the Bay Area, which at the time I thought was a good idea. But I realized it's incredibly hard to have a balance when you're working at a company that's, the company was only a year old, so it was just utter chaos. And I only had one day off a week, and that was every Monday. So let alone dating, it was just hard to build a social life.
You're 28 years old, so that is very challenging at that point.
Yeah. And also was living with my mother in a two-bedroom apartment, which, again, is not ideal for having a dating life.
Bay Area, it's essential.
You should have practiced
on her.
In 2015, I moved down to Southern California, and I live in Pasadena now. I'll be honest. After college, I just kind of gave up. I was working. Um, I I really didn't have much time to build a social life of anything. And for me, it was easier just to give up and not really care about it. And this summer, I turned 28, which, you know, I felt like I was an old man. And I thought, I'm not getting any younger. And I thought this would just be something I could work on. And also, too, I just found it interesting. I'd never read any of these books before. A couple of my buddies in college read them, but I didn't pay much attention to them. And it's just interesting, relationships, dating, the whole pickup artist community, which I knew nothing about besides just like Neil Strauss. There's a huge community out there, which I knew nothing about. So I kind of did it because I found it interesting and I knew it would help me as well.
Yeah. Okay. So what did you find? What were your results? What did you like? What did you not like?
Yeah, I think what I tried to do, and also this comes to just how easy it is to get carried away on Amazon, which I think we all suffer from that. They make it incredibly easy to buy things. So I kind of started with one book, and then before you know it, I started clicking away, and I had about a dozen books in my apartment.
What was your first book?
My first book was The Straight Line by Jordan Belfort. Gentleman who they actually based Wolf of Wall Street off of.
And sounded familiar.
Yeah, it's Leonardo DiCaprio who they based him off of. But I thought for some weird reason, if I could understand buying and selling and how that works, that would just help me.
It's so funny that you picked that book first because that guy is notoriously a bad guy. Like, he's a very bad person. You were like, you know what? I'm 28. It's time to start being a terrible person.
Yeah. And it's funny because that was kind of my starting point. And I thought, well, you know, this is an interesting book, but why don't I just cut to the chase and actually get books on picking up and dating? So that's what I did.
Did you learn how to rip people off, though, in the process?
I think I understood the buyer and the seller. That helped a lot too. And also I put it this way, and I think to make it easier for the podcast, through reading all of the books, I wanted to get a mix of everything. So some books I got were just self-help, some were just pick up, some were like the Jordan Belfort book was just on how to sell people. Mm-hmm. So I made a list of about 7 things that I wish I would have known, say, when I graduated high school or graduated college. I thought that'd be much easier to do than me try to go through all the books or try to just keep it simple. Would you guys enjoy that?
Yes, of course. We don't want to read 12 books.
Yeah, exactly.
Who has time for that?
And I want to add this too, to make this even better. I actually went on a date Friday and I tried to apply some of these things to that date. So this is a mix of my actual date on Friday and then also these books I read. So yeah, if you'd like, I can go down the list.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So the first thing I learned, which I knew I did not know at all when I was in my earlier 20s, was the fact that women are much, much socially aware than men are. And I didn't understand that. But now that I've read through a lot of these books and also going on these dates, women are much sharper when it comes to social dynamics than men are.
Yeah, generally. I feel like men, no matter who you are or how smart you are, all men have a little bit of Asperger's or autism. Like, it's just in the personality of dudes.
Yeah, no, and I'll admit too, when I was in my earlier 20s, I assume it was interesting as I was reading one of the books and they said, you assume that girl is also like essentially when you're hitting on her, that's might be one of the only girls you're hitting on, but she's been used to being hit on over and over again, so right. She's much more in tune with what's going on, what you're doing, and the social setting, which I personally had no, I didn't pick up on that when I was younger. So that's the first huge thing I learned. So,
well, I want to ask a question about this to expand on this. What does that mean that women are more socially aware? So from her side, what is she now seeing when you go up and approach her?
Well, I think...
You are not.
Yeah, I think especially me personally, I believe like I was the only guy that was hitting on her ever, which I know is not true. But I got into that mindset like, oh, she, you know, it's like, you know, this is, it was new to me. And I'm thinking, oh, she's probably not being used to getting hit on. I know it's foolish, but that's what I kind of used to believe. And exactly.
That they're the Lewis and Clark of anything when it comes to women. Like, they think they're the first one to send her a message on Instagram because they saw her on Tinder. It's like, no. What you think is original, 5 million guys have already done before you. So I think they should.
Exactly. And also, too, they've seen every angle. So you think you're going to approach them with a different angle. But they've probably seen every angle in the book that a guy's going to try to pull on them. So that was the biggest thing I learned, or the first thing I learned, I should say, out of the list. So,
and because of this, how have you altered what you're doing? Is it just being aware that you're up against other people, or that you're approaching somebody who might have a guard up? How does that alter you?
You know, I'll tell you what it did. It just makes you honest. It makes you authentic. Which I think that's one of the things that's lower on my list, that's on the list too. You just have to be yourself, because if you try to do something else, you try to pull an angle, or you try to be somebody you're not, she's going to smell that immediately. So I learned you just have to be honest with her and authentic. But I'd say even more importantly, just being honest. And again, I didn't understand that when I was younger. I thought it was, I had to somehow trick her or manipulate or something of that nature. And then I'm learning now, if you're just honest with them, they pick up on that immediately. So that's probably what I learned from that social dynamic.
I love that. Okay, what's item number two?
Yeah, I'd say the second thing that I was completely oblivious to, and I imagine many young men were, was body language. I did not pay attention to body language at all. When I was younger, and also more importantly, eye contact. And now that I read some of these books, almost every book touches on that, whether it be relationships, dating, pickup. And when I went on this date on Friday, I tried to make it a point to kind of pay attention to her body language and her eye contact. And sure enough, it was interesting how all those things in the books were essentially true. And she was giving me so much body language and so much eye contact. And that in itself is a form of communication. But when I was younger, and I imagine just other men as well, I completely ignored that. And I'm realizing how important that is right now.
Amazing. So what did you see her doing that you wouldn't have seen before?
Just good eye contact. I'd say that was a big thing. Also, I thought I would try to, I put my hand on her lower back. So I just gave her a gentle touch to see if she would reciprocate. And sure enough, when I did that, she just lightly placed her hand on my
arm. She was into you.
Second. When I was younger, I didn't even pick up on that. So it's interesting how when you think about these things and you're aware of these things, it's like they actually happen. So it's crazy. And I thought, okay. And then another huge thing I didn't pay attention to was, she started, it's a thing girls do where they kind of twist their finger through their hair. And I realized she played with her hair a lot too. And again, I wasn't keen on that before. So she was giving me tons of signals and just communication in general. And I was able to pick up on that, which made the date much better and made it, I could pick up on those things. So.
Interesting. Did you find that it distracted you, or because now it's so ingrained in you that you took it as like a point and it gave you a smile?
I think the latter. I think it was a signal and it kind of told me, okay, this is going well. Keep doing what you're doing, essentially. It didn't distract me where it kind of, I lost concentration, but it was something that I was just paying attention to. It's signaling. It's interesting how if you just pay attention to those things, you start seeing these.
Here's something that I see a lot of guys probably doing when they want to first apply what they've learned in books is looking like they're concentrating so hard, like they're trying to shit. I can see a guy going, okay, I'm going to look at all of these things that she's doing. Therefore, they're getting out of the moment and getting into their head and look like you can almost see their eyes probably looking more at her eyes and looking down at her hands and like getting distracted. Was that something that you struggled with at first, or did you, it's like patting your head and rubbing your belly at the same time. Were you able to do both, which is be natural and also look for these cues?
I wouldn't say it stopped me or messed me up. I was just aware of it. This is the kind of thing I started doing when I'm at these, when I'm doing a date, I always just try to, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I just turn off my cell phone. And if I have I enjoy having a wristwatch too, but I never look at my watch because that to me is more distracting than like a signal she's giving. And also too, if we, expounding on being comfortable and being loose, a little thing I did when I went to this date on Friday that any guy can do, and it's super simple, is if you know where, so essentially on Friday, we met up at a bar downtown. So we knew we were meeting up. I came to the bar about 5 minutes before, and I just stood outside on the corner and just got comfortable. I looked around. I saw everybody.
That's,
I saw the different venues. I went to the bar.
That's
a whole different story. But my point is I got comfortable. So when she approached me outside the bar and we met for the first time, I wasn't nervous. And I know athletes do this. Essentially anybody does this where you loosen up. So that helped a lot too. So when we initially met each other, I wasn't so nervous and so tight. And that helped me a lot, is the fact that I just loosened up and I was able to enjoy myself and I was comfortable in the environment, which I would recommend for any guy to do. It's a very easy and simple thing to do, and it's very effective as well.
Yeah, well, I call that working your conversation muscle. So I always say to park about 3 blocks away or drop yourself off 3 blocks away from where you're meeting somebody, and then either strike up conversation, say hi to people, whatever it is, it's going to get you to puff up your chest a little bit and get you in a groove before you actually get to the place that you're going to meet a girl. So I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, and also too, one more thing, or the next thing on the list was the fact that when I was younger, there was so much more drinking involved, and I had a great time on Friday, but I'm learning that you almost need to, I personally almost wanted to watch how much alcohol I was taking in, because by the end of the night, I was getting so sloppy, I just wasn't able to stay sharp. Everybody's different. I know people, handle their alcohol differently, but it was almost like I thought about the next day, like, okay, what could I make better? What are some things I could change? And I think if I go on another date, I might actually limit my alcohol intake. And that's just me personally, because I felt like I really, at the end of the night, I wish I would have been a little more clear. So that's another thing I personally came from the date, is the fact that I might
sometimes
too.
And look at it.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun too.
Stare it down. Okay, item number 3.
Yeah, the next thing I would say, I learned from all these books, you have to have a strong social foundation. You really have to work on yourself before you can even enter a date or the dating world. And all these books reinforce that. And what was interesting was I read Tucker Max's book called Mate. And essentially it's his book, not only on picking up, but just life in general. And for a guy that you think he's just this bar guy that's hitting on all these women, he emphasizes the fact that you really have to have a strong social foundation and a big social network for a lot of these things to happen, and also just to meet women in general.
When he was on our show, he talked about that as well, but he also talked about how when he was just out meeting women and sleeping with women and not really focused on having a relationship, his social circle, was a different social circle than when he was focused on finding a girlfriend, that he actually had to adjust his social circle and rebuild that social circle for, I think, 7 to 9 months in order to get into the right headspace and have the right social foundation to meet the kind of girl that he wanted to be in a relationship with.
No, yeah, exactly. And I think it's interesting because I remember reading this book when I was in high school. That was a book that was passed around amongst all the boys in high school.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I hope they serve beer in hell. And you think he's just kind of this natural guy that picks up women and all these crazy stories. But it's interesting how in the book he really outlines a lot of different things. And like I said, yeah, that social element was very, very important. And I also look back at in college and high school and in even after college, men that were just always had women around them or always had dates and so on and so forth. And I realized those guys were incredibly social and social with anything they did. So if they're going to a coffee shop, they're social. If they're going to anywhere, they're social.
But what if someone's not social naturally like me?
Well, I'd say that's something you can always work on. I'd say also too,
but it's not even work on. It's like the desire to be social just does not exist.
Yeah, I mean that's a good question. I'm not sure.
That was going to be my question, but I think the response to that is if you're not social, then you have to at least push yourself one day a week to go somewhere that you might find like-minded people to you. No, I know, seriously. But listen, even non-social people go out at some point. And like you, they complain about being social or they get frustrated with social people. So you can find people who have a similar point of view to you. Plus, it's always wonderful to have some group of friends who are like-minded that can introduce you to people that may also not be so social. So you might not go out to a bar, but you'll go over to somebody's house and hang out. So I think, you know, what Kurt's saying, what I'm hearing is that it's not about being out and bubbly and bar hopping, but it's about having a group of people or at least a couple of people that are your social network so that you're not alone and that can help boost your confidence.
Yeah, and I think leading on that, one thing I'm learning, again, from reading these books and also just personal experience is it's a muscle just like anything else. I didn't understand that when I was younger. You have to work the muscle. You see these pickup artists and you see these dating experts and so on and so forth. And the fact that they just work at it. And I learned that too. I for those years between college and now, I wasn't working at it, so nothing was happening. And if you work at it just like anything else, you know, it's going to happen.
It's going to become automated for you.
Listen, yeah, exactly.
I'm about to reveal something that people might find disgusting, but I used to never floss. I had perfect teeth. I never had a cavity before in my life. Kristen's showing me her little flossing things. I have those now. I'm just saying I never flossed before. I went to the dentist. I had a couple of cavities. I was in shock. And so my mom said, Marnie, it's time for you to start flossing because that can actually lead to dementia, Alzheimer's, MS. If you don't floss, which I didn't really believe, but I've been forgetting a lot of things lately. So I thought, why not pick up on it? Anyway, my point is the same way that I helped myself learn where to put my keys on a daily basis so I would not lose them. I did the exact same thing every day, no matter what. I forced myself to floss. And now if I don't floss, I can feel it in my gums and my gums tell me you need to floss. So it's exactly what you just said.
I just started flossing this week. Day six of flossing every single day. That's why I just showed you those because I have them next to my bed. Like I get in bed, I hang out, and I just floss my teeth because it was the same thing. My gums were telling me, like, please help me, please save me. And now I'm getting into the routine where, like, I'm sitting here almost with my tongue, as you were saying that, before you even said anything about flossing. It's kind of with my tongue feeling my gums going,
Look, see, but it's the same thing with going out anyway. Right now, my going out muscle is extremely floppy and flabby. It is... Does not work past
the gross. I can see it.
And I understand that. But if I did want to start doing it again, then I would just have to push myself to do it. With everything that you're learning in the very beginning, you have to push yourself to break yourself out of that cycle that you're currently in.
No, I completely agree. And to show you where I was coming from as a younger man, I saw these guys that would go out and pick up these girls and the Tucker Maxes of the world and the Neil Strauss and those kind of guys. And I thought, what's their secret? Or what, tantalizing always helps, but I thought it was some secret or some way about them or some thing they would say to the girl at the right moment and all this stuff. And I realized no, that if you ask those guys went out all the time and they just worked at it, just like you work at anything else. So they're just learning those social dynamics, and that's why these guys are so successful. Is just they work at like anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, number four.
Oh, another huge thing is I just had to completely forget about the end result. That was very important. I think earlier on in my dating career, I was so worried about what the end was going to be that I sabotaged the entire date. And a huge thing in all these books is you just have to not care. In a sense that I told myself Friday night, just have fun. Don't worry about what's going to happen or if it's going to go well, if it's going to go bad, just have fun and enjoy the moment. And also that loosens you up too, and you can really enjoy yourself. So I would say that was a huge thing that I learned is you can't care and just have a good time.
So tell me what you did to enforce that. Like, how did you stop yourself from caring?
The biggest thing was, again, I just focused on having fun. And I also learned from past experiences because when I was younger, it was, well, what if I don't say the right thing? What if I do this? What if this happens? What if there's an awkward moment? And I felt like if there was maybe an awkward pause, it would ruin the entire date. And even on Friday night, I went out and when we first met each other and we sat down for a drink, there might have been a little bit of a pause. And I thought to myself, oh, crap, there's a pause, you know. And I'm thinking, that doesn't matter. Just keep moving forward. It's not going to ruin the date. And that helped me a lot.
It actually makes it better, especially if you don't force yourself to fill that awkward silence. And you smile, you sit back, and you enjoy it.
Right.
If you do something charming, I think, in the awkward silence, like kind of give her a look like, eh, silence, or something just to indicate
but that you're okay with it.
You know, you're confident enough to get through the silence.
Yeah, I agree. And also, here's a little pro tip that I learned, again, from going out on my last date. About midway through the date, I told my date an embarrassing secret. Nothing crazy, just like a little goofy, embarrassing secret.
You were like, I don't floss.
Yeah, exactly. I told her, actually, I really enjoy listening to like boy bands from the 90s in my car when I'm driving.
Amazing.
Oh my God, that's worse than not flossing.
Right. And so my point is, this is what I did. I told her just a little goofy secret. And I would
like, basically, I'm gay.
No, I'm a child of the 90s, so I can't. I love me some NSYNC and some Backstreet Boys. But I wanted to see if she would tell me a secret back. And sure enough, she told me a little secret. So I don't know. I imagine that's...
What was her secret?
I know. You can't not tell us the secret.
The secret was she has... a corporate job in downtown LA, and she's like a manager, and she's in charge of a bunch of different employees. And in her office, she has three big computer screens, and it turns out on one of the screens, she watches not exactly porn. She watches makeup tutorials. So I guess women like to do makeup.
What a boring secret.
Yeah. I mean,
honestly, they're both at the same level. It's kind of cutesy and fun. You're exchanging. She has lots of other secrets to tell you later on down the road, but that's the most.
Yeah, like I have herpes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's hope not. But I think the thing there is the fact that we just built some comfort with each other and some trust. And it's a little thing. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It can just be like a little secret and something goofy that's kind of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of found that kind of broke through the wall. So that's just a little something I did that I learned.
We always talk about vulnerability, and that's a great way to display a low level vulnerable position for you, where you're not really that embarrassed about it. You're kind of proud of it, but you're positioning it in a way that says, "I'm letting you in on a little secret about me that I haven't told many people," which I think brings people closer together. So I think it's fantastic.
It's cute. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to get to number 5, 6, and 7 in a minute, but we have to take a little break. So hold on. We'll be back in a second. If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it. All right, we are back with Kurt, and Kurt is going to share with us number 5, 6, and 7 of his list of 7 things that he wish he knew when he was younger, but he knows now, and he's using those things for extreme success with women.
Yeah, so I'd say another huge thing that helped me out was the fact that I really had to be honest with myself about a big thing for me was my apartment. I had to ask myself, I had to look at my apartment and go, is this apartment acceptable? Not only for yourself, but for anybody else, or if you'd want to bring a girl back home. So that helped me a lot. And I had to be honest with myself. I said, my apartment's not acceptable and I really need to work on this. And again, it didn't happen overnight. I had to really start. I got a brand new apartment. Which
I was going to say, your mom's going to be so sad to hear this if you're saying her house wasn't acceptable for you. Okay.
Yeah. To give you a backstory, I lived my former apartment in Pasadena. It was 220 square feet. So it was essentially a shoebox. Yeah, it was not ideal. Not ideal for a young man in the dating game.
With such a big penis, especially.
Right. And I'll admit it too, I slept on, it wasn't even a bed. It was just two mattresses topped on each other on the ground. And they were twins, or twin mattresses. And also they were mattresses that were left over from the past person that was in the apartment. Not proud of that.
It doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, not proud of that, but I had to be honest with myself and I said this is unacceptable. Not only for myself, but for anybody else that would be in that bed.
Absolutely.
So I started with getting a brand new bed, an actual adult bed.
Nice.
I got brand new bed sheets. And also I just actually moved out of that apartment. I got an actual much bigger apartment.
Were you doing that just out of curiosity? Were you living like that because you didn't really care that much or because of financial reasons?
Literally, to be honest, I did not care. I had the money. Oh. I just did not care. Girls weren't coming back, so it didn't matter.
Right.
So I kind of told myself, if I want to step up my game, I need to change this.
And it's not expensive to do. It's like things that you can, you know, for a little money, you can improve things.
Exactly. And I knew, and also too, it's going to benefit you. Like I'm the one sleeping in the bed as well. So it's going to not only help yourself, but it's going to help whoever's with you. Okay. So that's one huge thing I learned. And again, you have to just be honest with yourself. It's like, would you bring you back to this apartment? Probably not. So it needs to change. And also too, another thing I looked at in my life, not only was my apartment, but my wardrobe. I looked at my closet and I said, you know, is this acceptable to go out into a nightclub or go out even on a date? So I tweaked my wardrobe a little bit too. So again, it's self-help, but also it's a great thing to do in general. So those are some things I had to work on myself personally. And
you're talking about your inside and your outside, but those things always go together.
Right.
One alters the other one and how it has an impact on the other one. We've said it a million times before. Like I went to my new gym opened up today around the corner, which I'm so excited about.
Oh, cool.
But I am wearing high heels for the first time in a couple of weeks and I feel much more feminine. Because I shower at the gym and then I have to look good when I walk out of the gym and I can't just put my disgusting clothes on and walk out the door. So I'm like wearing a nice pair of trousers and high heels and I feel more feminine today. So it does have a huge impact.
Exactly. And might I say, I'm surprised we've gone this far into the podcast and Kristen hasn't made a Seinfeld reference yet. I'm a little bummed out.
Oh, I did. You just didn't hear it. I said,
did you slip one by?
I did because you told us, you know, your secret. And then we said, tell us hers. We're in the vault.
You're real sly with the Seinfeld references. Okay.
Such nature. Step up your game.
But moving on from that, I'd say another huge thing is start with one thing in your life and work your way out. So what I did personally was like I started with my bed sheets. I got really nice bed sheets and then I got a new bed. And then on that top of that, I started changing everything in my apartment from that one thing. And you can choose anything. You can choose a pair of dress shoes and work your way out. You can choose your bed and work your way out. That's just an easy thing I did. And I think that's something that you can apply that really helps just change everything in your life is start with something simple and just work your way out from that.
Yeah.
So guys listening might not actually know what good bed sheets are. They might be at Target and go, yeah, these look nice. What were the actual bed sheets you got?
Well, what I did, I got Bull and Branch because...
From Howard Stern, yeah.
Yeah, and actually also too, again, it's simple. Just literally, again, we're all on the internet. Just type in, high expensive bed sheets or just high thread count bed sheets. And there's tons of websites that will tell you all different types of bed sheets you can buy. So yeah, again, it's a very simple thing. Really good.
And they're not extremely expensive.
Again, yeah, and also you got to look at it as a good investment too. All these things I was doing, I looked at it as an investment. And even some of the clothes I bought, I didn't cheap out on the clothes. I thought I'm going to spend money on good clothes, and I know they're going to last me and they're going to pay off.
Yeah.
So, don't look for any shortcuts. I mean, really put in the money and put in the time and it will pay off.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm holding back from sharing my own bed sheet story because I know it's not that interesting, but a couple months before I left LA, I had been sleeping on Target bed sheets since I moved into my new apartment. So I'd been like a year and a half, and I thought to myself, if I have any self-respect, I'm going to go get nice bed sheets. And I did. And it's just funny that you said you started with bed sheets, because to me, that was a symbolic moment of trying to better my life was bed sheets.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
It makes a difference when you have like a really good soft pair of bed sheets that don't like have those pills on them.
Yeah. And like, it felt like yes, I was going to say, I feel like a real adult now. Yeah. And now, of course, they're just packed away in a box and I'm sleeping in my parents' room in my parents' house. But, that was a moment.
Pretty soon they will be.
But pretty soon they'll be back on a bed in New York City.
Yes. And lots of guys' bums will be touching them.
Yeah. And also,
bums will be touching them.
Or that. All right. Let's hear number six.
So number six too, I'd say, I read this book called, What Women Want When They Test Men by Bruce Bryans. Mm. And a lot of good stuff in there, but at the very end of the book, he said something that really struck a chord, and that was just enjoy your masculinity and just revel in being a man. And I'd never heard that before. Right, exactly. Yeah, too much Justin Timberlake. But that was something that I highlighted, and I thought that's an interesting way to think about it. I think again, just enjoy that masculine energy, and women can do the exact same thing with feminine energy. But again, just enjoy being a man and being able to lead. And that was really important to me.
Well, and it's very confusing for a lot of men right now because they're feeling like they're being shamed for being masculine when that's actually not really what's going on. But I think a lot of them are interpreting it that way and therefore covering up their masculinity. But I love that you've said now to be proud of being masculine. Can you tell us a little bit about what that actually means for you?
Well, I think for me, I the first thing that came to mind was, again, the thing growing up that I would always hear from my male peers was, no, man, it's that school of thought that you need to insult the girl for her to like you. And I'll be completely honest, that's essentially, I heard that throughout my adolescence and throughout college was the fact that, you need to be a jerk or you need to insult her or you need to, it's that negging thing. And I think if you tell that to young men, they're like, what are you talking about? I don't want to insult a woman. How would insulting a woman would make her like me? That doesn't make sense. So that confused me a lot. And I think more of reading these books and just more on just life experience, that's not true. And I think many young men misinterpret what that means.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think also, all the dating advice and all the advice I was getting on women were from other men. So that creates a problem too. I was never seeking advice from other women or from the opposite sex. So I think not only for me, but just in general in our society, I think that creates a huge problem.
So basically you're saying that when you found our podcast and my materials, everything shifted for you and you became this master with women, right?
Exactly.
He's like, I'll take that in the form of a check later.
All right, show is over. Okay, but that's interesting though, because it's funny that you just said own your masculinity, but at the same time you're saying that you were having, that you should be listening to women, that you were like limiting yourself because you were only listening to other men.
Yeah. And also I find this interesting too. The advice I was taking from other men were men that were my age or not much older.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how much more life experience do they have than I do? I always found that interesting. Exactly. What exactly. I always found that interesting.
No, but the thing is that these guys are your age and they're saying, I'm like sleeping with 5 women a week. So of course you're
queer. Or maybe they're not and they're trying to learn too. I just feel like it's just good to keep your horizons very broad when you're looking for advice.
Yeah, which is why I love that Kurt like went through all these books. Exactly.
And then
I can stop doing any other type of self-help. Okay, what's number 8?
Seven, the last one. I'd say another thing, and I learned this too from going on the date, is you have to be the leader. And I didn't understand that when I was younger, is the fact that women want you to be the leader and take charge. And that was huge. And also, I was a little rusty at this date. When we left the first venue, instead of me knowing exactly where to go, she almost had to tell me where to go. And it was kind of this like goofy moment where I walked out of the bar and I started walking the wrong way. And my date goes, no, hold on. You're going the wrong way. It's this way. And there's nothing wrong with that. I didn't ruin the date, but there was a part of me that thought, no, like I should be taking the lead. I should be knowing where we're going.
Right.
And again, that's not like the end of the world or it's not the answer to everything, but I just picked up on that where there's this, I don't know if it was a power thing, but it was just like, I should be a little bit more on top of it as far as where we're going and just a little thing like that about going to the next venue. So that's just a little thing I picked up on. But again, it ties in just taking charge and being.
Yeah, but if you do have a moment like that, because you are human, play with it and use it to your advantage and make it cute or charming. Like, oh yeah, I was going to the bathroom first, right? That's where we usually go before we leave.
If you're having a really good time, go run up to her, pick her up and say, absolutely, this is the direction that we're heading. Thank you for being the boss of the, like whatever it is, you got to own it and be okay with it and then take the lead from there afterwards. How do you take the lead without being like a know-it-all who doesn't really respect what she has to say? Because I know a lot of guys can misunderstand that message as well and just cut the woman off completely from contributing to the date.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I'm be honest with you, I'm probably still figuring that out. Mm-hmm. I think what would have helped me was having a little bit more of a plan for that night. I know it's fun, you know, being spontaneous is fun too. But I think it helps when you have an idea of what you want to do as far as what venues you want to go to, what bars you want to go to, what restaurants you want to go to. I'd say that's a big thing. And also, I didn't completely ignore, like, we're going here no matter what. I was able, I asked her, obviously, what she wanted to do. But just being more comfortable and also just doing a little homework as far as maybe some places you could go to, if there's any closed bars. And I'll admit, I didn't do that much homework for this first date. So I think going into my next dates down the road, I would just have a little bit more of knowing what I want to do. That's probably the best answer I can give you on that one.
Yeah, for sure. And that's all that it is. But it's building on item number 2, which is having an expanded, you know, social foundation, because then you know of a whole bunch of things going on. You can say to the girl, listen, I'm having a great time with you. There's 3 things that we can do. I know this great quiet bar down the street, right. Good music that we can listen to, but a friend of mine is actually doing it. I mean, you're in Los Angeles performing at the Improv tonight. I'm just saying that you can have a whole bunch of options that may not be planned out. You just happen to naturally have those options available to you, the more social.
How did you know that was item number 2, exactly. Rain Man? How did you remember that?
There's 7 items, right? It's item number 2.
Did you social have an email in front of you? Well, you just know.
Is it not? I mean,
what a weirdo.
Yes, I'm very smart. It's all things, I'm telling you. My memory is so much better now.
Well, you know, I have, now that I have both of you on this podcast, I have to ask this question. I think many men, yeah. And I think many men will benefit from this. What's your take on cologne? How should I apply the cologne?
Hate it. If you wear cologne, wear cologne, but don't bathe in cologne. Do a sprinkling of cologne. But I am not a fan of cologne. It smells like you're trying too hard and it smells like desperation. Yeah. I like the natural smell of it.
But I know so many other women who do love it because that's the way that they grew up. For me, like literally if there's a fire two cities over, I can smell it. I have such a sensitive nose. And when I smell something, I can taste it. So if you have BO, I smell it, then I taste it. If you have cologne on, I smell it, then I taste it. And it's all that I can focus on. But not all women like that. So if you are
I like the smell of the products you use to get ready, which is whatever shower gel, you can smell that you just showered, whatever you put in your hair, whatever small little thing you put in your hair, you know, I like the smell of cleanliness in your natural state.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I'm on the same page as you. I don't know if all women think that way or feel that way,
graduating high school or maybe right at the beginning of college, I dated a guy who bathed in Acqua di Gio, which I don't know any colognes, but I just know that name because we called him Acqua di Gio, and I'm probably saying it wrong. But because it was just like, ugh. And now whenever I've smelled that, like, not that I smell often, but if I'm walking through a department store or something and I see it, I'm like, ugh.
Ugh, it's just yucky. But obviously some women like it because there's so many men who do it. But yeah,
if you want to do it lightly.
Do it lightly. Exactly. Put it onto your feet so that it's like a light smell.
Yeah, don't smell your feet. All right. So that's a thing.
Just
throw some powder. My ex-boyfriend had very stinky shoes and feet. Throw some powder in your shoes. Let them soak overnight if you really have a pungent foot smell. Because if you go to her place and take your shoes off and all of a sudden she just smells feet, there's going to be no
face. Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Our fancy bed sheets are not going to be having a guest in them. Anyway, Kurt, thank you so much for being on our show. I know this is one of your first appearances on a podcast. Great. You did really well. Yeah. Thank you for bearing with us as we were fidgeting with our recording system. But you were awesome. Thank you for those 7 things that you did not know before, but you wish you knew when you were younger. They will be very helpful to many people who listen to this podcast. So you are awesome. Thank you. Do you have any apps that you're creating right now that you want to promote?
No apps. If you want to creep on my Instagram, it's tacokurt90 at instagram.com. That's TACOKURT90, tacokurt90, because I love some great carne asada or al pastor.
You're probably going to have to get some new sheets soon then.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I love listening to the podcast. And just thank you. This was so cool. And again, thank you for
thanks for all your info.
Of course, you were wonderful. Yeah. And thank you, Kristen, for being on the show. I love looking at your face now. My phone is going to die very shortly. So we're FaceTiming while we're doing this so that we can have that real human aspect that we miss from being face-to-face in Los Angeles now that Kristen is in New York. Check out my new approaching program called The Approach Blueprint. It is now live on my website and it teaches you all about those first stages of interactions and approaching, getting over approach anxiety, what to say, how to say it, body language, a lot of the stuff that we talked about on this podcast. New episodes of the Ask Women podcast come out almost every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. We've been a little bit off lately, but I'm going to try to be a lot better about putting those out on time. Please don't be an idiot. Do not download individual episodes. Go and subscribe to our show so it just comes to you naturally. You can listen to it whenever you want. You guys are
awesome. And you should go to my website if you want help with your dating or your dating profile or your bantering. You can go to kristencarney.com/datinghelp. I am here for you guys and your wieners.
And your wieners, exactly. All right, we will see you guys next week.